This morning's scripture reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For he finds fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor or each one his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So thus far, we have been learning in the letter to the Hebrews of the superiority of our Lord Jesus. We have been reminded he is superior to the angels. We are reminded he is superior to Moses. And we have been reminded that he is the superior great priest who knows exactly what it means to be a human being. And so last week we learned that Jesus' priesthood is way superior to the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament. And because of Jesus' superiority, we are challenged to come to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And so as we approach chapter 8, we stumble across a vital clue leading us to this week's lesson. Because you see, if you remember the time when you were a student, and I'm looking across now, and of course, some of us will say, well, that was quite a while ago. Can you remember what it was like in English comprehension class? Or English literature class? Don't talk about the Chinese comprehension. That's a totally different story altogether. I don't know about you, right? But for me, it was always so difficult to find the main point of that text, the main point of whatever the passage was. And it can be very, very frustrating. Except that here, in verse 1 of chapter 8, the author of the Hebrews purposefully draws our attention, and now there is no excuse because he tells you, he tells me that this is the main point. He begins with the words, "Now the point in what we are saying is dot, dot, dot." Or in the NIV, even more clearly, "The main point of what we are saying is so and so forth." And so the material in chapter 8, and we will find later in a couple of weeks' time, chapter 9, this captures the heart of the matter, the main point of the letter. All right? So before we go further, let's turn to God in prayer. And if you are able to, I want to invite you to stand. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, as we study your word this morning, we ask your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts, Lord. And we ask your Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our minds, Lord, that we might be receptive to you. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And so the main point of what we are talking about today is that we have such a better high priest, which is in contrast, of course, to the Levitical priesthood, who were human, who were weak and imperfect. Following the description in chapter 7, the author of Hebrews further contrasts the Levitical priest with Jesus, our great high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And why is Jesus our better great high priest? The contrast is clear. The Levitical priesthood serves in the earthly tabernacle. But Jesus has ascended into heaven and has taken his seat at the right hand of God, the majesty in heaven. The Levitical priest regularly had to offer gifts and sacrifices. And in a sense, it actually indicates to us that their work is never done. They are continually, regularly offering the gifts and sacrifices. But Jesus, we are told, offered himself up once and for all, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In fact, the word picture of Jesus our Lord seated at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne in heaven, is indicative that his sacrifice was enough. Finally, there was this sacrifice that was sufficient. His work is done. The Levitical priest served in the copy and shadow of the heavenly tabernacle, but Jesus serves in the true tent, or the true tabernacle in heaven, set up by God himself, interceding and mediating for God's people before God himself. In fact, the translation of the word holy places that we find in verse 2 is not simply referring to the tabernacle as a whole, but specifically the holy of holies, the holiest place, the innermost, most holy part of the tabernacle. And that is where Jesus mediates and intercedes. I don't know about you, but how majestic is that? How powerful is that? How encouraging is this? Jesus is not some simple, any old how kind of priest. He is our great high priest, the better high priest. So I'm sure some of you have seen this award-winning photograph. And you can find it actually on National Geographic. But if you have seen this photo before, don't spoil it for your neighbor. All right? Because at first glance, when you take a look at this photo, at first glance, when I took a look at this photo, I went, whoa, I've never seen so many camels so nicely, sharply outlined. And it's like, wow, you've got this huge herd of them. But wait, are you looking at camels or are you looking at the shadow of camels? Those of you who have seen this before are nodding. Because all these black camels, now I'm not sure whether you actually have black camels in life, but all these black camels are actually simply shadows. Because if you change the angle a little bit, you zoom in, then you discover that, oh wait, camels are not black. The black things are actually the shadow. There's only the shadow of the camels. So here's a very dumb question, all right? I know teachers sometimes say there's no such thing as stupid question. But here's a very dumb question. If you or I needed transport across the Sahara Desert, and we were denied the use of modern vehicles, all right? No trucks, no SUVs, cannot fly. You either walk or you take camel, all right? If you have to choose, you want the shadow or you want the real thing? No-brainer, right? You want the shadow or you want the real thing? For the Jewish Christians whom this letter was addressed to, it was always a very impressive, immersive experience to see the high priest of the Jerusalem temple go through that annual ritual. In fact, there was always also a bit of high tension, because if the high priest missed a step, if the high priest did not purify himself properly, he may not come out of the Holy of Holies. Go in can, cannot come out. And that's why it was said that they had a rope tied to their ankles in case the guy made a mistake. Then at least can retrieve him. Otherwise, every party of priests that went in there, problem lah, okay? But the point that the author is making here in Hebrews is that all the splendor of the earthly ritual, all the anxiety and tension of the earthly ritual is nothing compared to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our great high priest, who is right now ministering at the throne of the majesty in heaven in the holiest of holies. Did you get that, brothers and sisters? Christ Jesus, our Lord, is presently serving at the throne of grace on our behalf. Oftentimes, our understanding is that the Bible instructs us to serve God, which is, of course, true, because, for instance, the letter to the Corinthians says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. But equally true is Jesus' invitation to us, assurance to us, that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ Jesus, our Lord, our great high priest, gives himself to serve us by dying for us, gives himself to serve by mediating for us. And so in the liturgy, in other words, our Sunday service and the rest of our days, God ministers to us, serving us, forgiving our sins, granting us grace and the Spirit's power to obey, filling us and empowering us with His Spirit. No wonder that the Germans have a very fascinating name for the Sunday service. They call it Gottdienst, which actually means divine service. You see, my dear friends, we are so privileged. We are so loved. God is willing to condescend Himself to serve you and I, His people, to minister to us. And so in our response to God's great love, would you avail yourself to allow Jesus to serve you? Because the opposite, in other words, refusal, also has consequences. Remember when Jesus took the towel and the basin and He started to wash the disciples' feet? Our hero, the Apostle Peter, he was horrified and he instinctually recoiled and he told the Lord, "You will never wash my feet." But Jesus patiently countered Peter's reluctance. "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to put aside our distractions, perhaps even put aside our pride, to allow the Lord, as it were, to use the living water of His Word to wash away the dirt that you and I pick up from walking in this world as we deal with disappointment and hurt, as we deal with betrayal and regret. And as our better high priest, Jesus, ministers on our behalf before the throne of the Majesty in heaven, would you then allow yourself to slow down, quieten down, to take the time to allow Him to minister to your soul? And I say slow down because the truth is, it is difficult. It is almost impossible to hear God speak when we drown Him out in busyness and in distractions. Maybe you could avail yourself to one of the bi-monthly spiritual retreats that Preacher Dawn organizes on Saturday mornings. That's one possibility. Maybe you could look out for the next run of the Spiritual Emotional Health class, which will be conducted by Pastor Kelvin, whoever that guy is. Will you avail yourself to be ministered to by God, our Heavenly Father? And so as we come back to our text, the author of the letter to the Hebrews puts it this way. Since Jesus is the better priest who ministers in the true Holy of Holies, He is also the mediator of a better covenant, because that covenant is enacted on better promises. So verses 8 to 12 now references the new better covenant which Jeremiah prophesied of in Jeremiah 31. But the question that needs to be asked is, why is that so-called new covenant needed? And the simple answer is because the older Mosaic covenant was not enough. Why? You see, in the old covenant, people were called to be faithful to God, right? But the people could not. Not only did they did not, but they could not. And this is how the Apostle Paul describes the old covenant. "So the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good." We are clear, right? The old covenant is good. "But the law is weakened by flesh and thus powerless to change us, from the inside out, because what he wrote was what the law was powerless to do, what it was meant to do, because it was weakened by the flesh. The old covenant was good. It revealed sin to be utterly sinful. But the old covenant, the law, the Mosaic law, was unable to bring about obedience from the inside out. And so we find that throughout the Old Testament, the people of Israel repeatedly broke the old covenant. They repeatedly failed to live godly lives that the covenant demanded. But the text reminds us that the new and the better covenant is different. We received the new covenant by grace. We did not even earn it. We received the new covenant by grace through faith as God's gift because of the salvific sacrifice of Jesus, our great high priest. So the new covenant is free, but never think it is cheap. The new covenant is free, but it is costly because it cost the life of Jesus, God's only begotten Son, the second person of the Trinity. And unlike the old covenant, the new covenant works from the inside out. God takes away our sins, and thus, because of what God has done, He will be our God and we will be His people. Because God has now taken away our sin, there will be no longer a gulf between God and His people. And because of Jesus' salvific sacrifice, you and I are thoroughly, completely forgiven. And He will no longer remember our sin, because He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. So far does He remove our transgressions from us. And so through the new covenant, intimacy with God is renewed. And so if you think about it, the new covenant brings about a restoration of intimate relationship with God. That very situation that the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, had, where they could walk with God in the Garden of Eden before the fall. They had such close, intimate relationship with God. So the new covenant brings about that movement towards new creation, where the dwelling place of God is with man. That new covenant where He will dwell, that new creation where He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. The old covenant could not completely remove sins, which is why the Levitical priests had to offer that sacrifice over and over and over again. But Jesus, our better high priest of that better covenant, offers that one single offering. And that one single offering is forever sufficient for us who are being sanctified. And so, because the new covenant is so much better, the author to the Hebrews declares the old covenant obsolete, ready to vanish away. Now, I'm not sure what comes across your imagination when you think of that word obsolete. The American dictionary describes it as something that is no longer used or needed, usually because something newer and better has replaced it. And so here's an African story, right? We discovered at our first rainy season in Nigeria that the grass in Nigeria grows totally different from the grass in Singapore. I do not know why. Within a few days of the onset of rain, what was previously bare, sandy, brown ground now becomes covered by grass that is knee-high. And if you don't take action, very quickly the grass becomes waist-high. And then shoulder-high. And on the untended hillside behind our home, we found that the grass was taller than us. So much so that when we saw that jungle of grass, can you imagine a jungle of grass? Just nothing else but grass. We actually had to tell the kids to be careful because things can hide in the grass, right? Snakes and whatnot. And the grass itself, even more powerful than lalang grass because the edges were very sharp. So if you were not careful and you just tried to pluck it, you get lacerations on your hand. So seeing the grass grow like crazy, right? We approach our neighbors for help. Ask them, you know, who can we hire to chop the grass? So the next morning, we awoke to this very strange sound. Very rhythmic. Swish, 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 swish. Then stop. Then swish, swish, stop. Swish, swish, swish. Then we realize, oh, I think somebody is cutting the grass. But it was not the usual mechanical buzz that you hear when the NEA grass cutters tackle the grass by the roadside. This guy was slowly, methodically cutting the grass by hand. And he was using this thing. It's basically a straight piece of metal, bent at the end. At first glance, it almost looks like a golf club, right? But no, it's only about this long, that's all. So what happens is they bend the thing at the end, and then they sharpen the edges, and you basically swing it back and forth like a pendulum to cut grass. I learned that it was called a langa langa. I have no idea why it's called a langa langa, but we learned it as langa langa, and so it is a langa langa. But if you think about it, right, you use this thing and you chop, 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 chop. By the time you finish one end of your garden or the field, the other end is overgrown already, lah. So you start over again and then you chop, 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 and then you slowly work your way through. So it's a perpetual employment, lah. Every day got job to do until the rains stop. But if you think about it, right, I think it's very obvious, right, which one is faster. The NEA grass cutter fella, the machine, or the human grass cutter. So the langa langa had its use. I actually even bought one because it's useful for when I wanted to trim things and I didn't want to pay for the gardener, you know, that sort of thing. But you can see that the langa langa is basically an obsolete piece of equipment. If you had a modern grass cutter, if you had a lawn mower, you wouldn't use the langa langa anymore, right? Jesus, our Savior, ushered in the new covenant with his blood. And he desires to show us mercy. He desires to minister to us. Jesus, our Lord, made the better covenant possible by his offering up of himself. And he desires to establish that new covenant with you. To be your God. And for you to be his child. What remains then is your response. What would you say to that? Do you want to trust in your own human effort, the old, obsolete way? Or do you want to learn a new way to trust Jesus, our better high priest of the better covenant? Today is the day of salvation, so would you trust in Jesus our Lord? Would you accept his offer of a new and living intimate relationship with Jesus? Because for those of us who are online, or even those who are here. If you do not yet know Jesus but want to take up his offer of a new covenant, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And for the rest of us, let us also close our eyes to uphold our friends in prayer. So if you don't know Jesus yet and you want to take up his offer of that new covenant, please pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I know I cannot save myself. Have mercy on me, Lord. I want to turn from my sins, and I want to trust in Jesus, who is the Son of God, who died on the cross to save me. Help me live my life for you, Jesus. Amen. And for the rest of us, I want to invite us to stand and join me in prayer, shall we? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for being our better priest. We want to thank you for being our great high priest that mediates a better covenant, which allows us to draw near to God, our Heavenly Father, and to even be empowered by your Holy Spirit, giving us a hope that stands the test of time. Illumine our hearts, Lord, and help us to internalize your word so that we may grow in intimate knowledge of you, growing to be more like Christ, because we stand in Christ with sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.